And the idea is to know the will of God for your life is the greatest knowledge. To find the will of God for your life is the greatest discovery. But to do the will of God for your life is the greatest achievement. And I said, Lord, if it means achieving the most for you to be a foreign missionary, here's my life. I'll serve you wherever you lead. It was about that time that I met Cecile. And I thank you, Brother Mac, for what you said about Cecile. She is my best foot forward, I'll tell you. She is the one who's kept me straight. She's been the one who's helped in those times of decision that I didn't go off on a tangent, and she's kept me right. I thank the Lord for her and for what she means to the work on the foreign mission field. I met her at seminary. We were married. Then after our 2 years in Koenjak, wonderful years that y'all know about, some of you, that we served there, we were appointed in 1956 to the foreign mission field. And the Lord has given us a son, and I'll have to admit, one of the reasons we're going back this time, after I had already announced to this congregation last time we were on furlough that we were coming home this time to retire, take an early retirement. I wanted to be in the churches back home. I wanted to promote missions back home. But then when we got back to the field, we found out that our son also was considering appointment to Argentina. I thought they were going to go to Spain or maybe the Philippines. But then when they were appointed to Argentina, and they came down, and that granddaughter was born, and she's down there. I said, you know, Cecile, they really need us in Argentina. And she agreed. And so we are going back. When we've been telling people we are going back for one more term, 2.5 years, a little bit more than 2.5 years, and then we will come home and retire, people seem to say, you know, I'm glad you're going back. And I appreciate that attitude, too. We're glad we're going back, too. We're going back for that final term of service where we will be serving the Lord there. And I know there's plenty of work to do. And, of course, we will have an added dividend of being near the children. And we're expecting another grandchild in January. We get back the 28th of December, and that new baby is supposed to be born around the 3rd of January. So what a homecoming back to Argentina. This is a different furlough, having part of the family there, part of the family here. But that's to those of you who hadn't met me or did not know about me, how in this church right here, when a missionary came, and because of the wonderful people, the Sunday school teachers, the Bible teachers, the WMU, and all the people here who have taught us through the years, all have made an impression on my life so that I have been able to go out and do what I feel was God's will for my life to serving Him on the foreign mission field. I don't regret it one minute. I'm glad all of that took place. I'm glad that I ended in the mission field serving there, and that there is a time of counting fruits and saying, thank you, Lord, for this one. Thank you for that one. I remember this one. Thank you, Lord, for that person. And then those that have been saved here, thank you, Lord. We're grateful for those who have been born again, those who have come into the kingdom of God because of that witness. And you know, you're part of it. You're part of it because your prayers have gone with us all the way. Those cards that have come, that money that you give through the cooperative program and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, I know that because you have a special contact with the foreign missionary from this church, that you are a mission-minded church and aware of promoting the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the cooperative program. Let me tell you a concern that I have, a concern about the cooperative program, not for this church, but in general throughout the Southern Baptist Convention. When Brother Mac spoke, when I was here before in May, Brother Mac from this pulpit said, I want you to know, and he was talking to us as missionaries, I want you to know as our missionaries, we, as long as I'm here, he said, I will promote and this church will sponsor and back our offerings through the cooperative program and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We are for mission work, and this church will go on record as being for giving through the cooperative program and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And I appreciate that, Brother Mac. I really do. Sitting back there and hearing him say that from the sincerity of his heart really touched my heart, and I appreciate it. And I thank you for what you mean, because you have been faithful in giving through those offerings. But the word of concern is this. The crisis that is taking place in our Southern Baptist Convention is beginning to be felt on the field. Now, some people would probably deny that, but it is being felt. This last year, before we came home, we were told that we had to start cutting our budgets. Now, before, we always increased our budget 1 to 2, 2.5% according to inflation here in the States, we would get that amount increase every year for our budget needs. But last year, even though we have sensed inflation, and we've had it, we were told by the Farm Mission Board, you will not be able to get any increase, and please start making any cuts you can. Now, friends, when we get word from the Farm Mission Board that we have to start making cuts in our budgets, meaning curtailing work that we want to do for the Lord on the field, then that's when the crisis is beginning to hurt us on the Farm Mission field. Not only the money, but our missionary support, our missionaries who have been appointed and will be appointed, we are 100 less today than we were a year ago in missionary because of resignations, because of retirement, because of people coming home, and then the lack has not been made up by new appointments. We're behind in appointments this year, and there seems to be a trend setting in that as people come before the Farm Mission Board now, they say, well, with all the crisis and conflict going on in the convention, is it really safe? Is it secure? Can I be secure in a job if I get appointed by the Farm Mission Board and get out on the Farm Mission field somewhere? Is it a safe time? Well, the answer to that question is that it never has been a safe time to be appointed as a foreign missionary around the world, as a security. If you want security, the Mars Foreign Mission Field is not a place to go if you're thinking about your income. But now, more than ever before, we can see that it is beginning to affect the number of appointments of those people who are coming up saying, Lord, I want to serve you somewhere around the world. And we can see that because of these things, during the years ahead, we will have to take cuts and we'll have to make adjustments in our programs, in our strategies, in the number of buildings we can build, in the number of new cities we can go into, in the number of work that can be done. Did you know that when we met, the Southern Baptist Convention met in Norfolk in 76 and set out this program of bold mission thrust, it was right here in Norfolk that that convention voted to enter into this plan so that by the year 2000 we'd have goals that were ambitious goals to be reached, that is to spread the word around the world for the Lord. We're halfway to that goal now. We're halfway to 2000. And where are we? We see in some areas, for example, in the area of volunteers, in the area of volunteers, we have already reached the goal that we set for 2000. Do you know that we had 10,800 volunteers? That is Southern Baptists like Nancy and James who went down to Brazil, and volunteers who have gone out and been for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks serving on the field in different times and kinds of programs that laymen and preachers alike can be involved in. We more than met our goal. We've already reached 10,800. In fact, this would be a nice way for this church to be able to send its pastor out to the mission field somewhere so he can be involved in a revival campaign. I'd be glad to translate for you in Argentina. Let the church send you to Argentina. We'll have a good revival down there. You preach in English, and I'll try to speak in Spanish, and we'll have a revival down there. You send him out, and we'll be glad to receive him down there, and we'll have another volunteer. 10,800. So that in that point, we are ahead. But in almost all of the other categories, starting churches, support system, all of that is lagging behind, and we need really a new vision. I don't believe the vision that was given to the disciples by Jesus Christ when he gave the Great Commission, I do not believe that has changed. I think the world is still in need of a Savior. I think Jesus Christ today needs to be known all around the world. I think there are times, however, when we as people in the United States are beginning to start becoming more and more conservative about the sending missionaries out or thinking about the needs of the people in other countries. We say, look at the Japanese, for example. They're coming in and taking over the United States. The Japanese still need to know about Jesus Christ, and there are people all around the world who need to know Jesus Christ. And if we become conservative and start keeping our money within ourselves and not giving and not sending missionaries, then I believe we're not fulfilling the word of Jesus Christ. Here in Acts 1:8, pero recibiréis poder cuando haya venido sobre vosotros el Espíritu Santo y me seréis testigos en Jerusalén y en toda Judea y Samaria y hasta lo último de la tierra. Now y'all immediately know that. It's the commission, the Acts 1:8, where the risen Christ now is saying, stay right here until you receive power. It's the first time that Jesus ever told the church to sit still a minute. Apart from this, This is the time when the people are receiving power. They are waiting to be endued with power. And then after that power of the Holy Spirit comes, then they are sent out to the ends of the earth. Beginning in Jerusalem, it said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That has not changed. Jesus Christ needs to be known all around the world. There are people that are lost and dying and still going to hell without Jesus all around the world. And it is our commission to tell them. I feel it. And I feel that there are those who are still back here in the States who are possibilities who could go out and serve on the fields of the world. Oh, how I'd like to see some of these people I've seen since I've been on furlough. Talented in music, talented in preaching the gospel. People that God has blessed, and how I'd covet them to go out to the fields of the earth also to preach the gospel in these places that also need to know about Jesus. Thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you for that part that you have played through the years, 33 years that we've been with the Foreign Mission Board, 32 of those, of course, in Argentina. But all these 33 years, this church has contributed each year to our support, sending the money to the Foreign Mission Board, contributing toward our support, our salary. And that's been faithfulness that as the letter comes out year by year to this church from the Foreign Mission Board, they send me a copy. And I know that the church is being thanked from the Foreign Mission Board, and then I too am able to say thank you, South Norfolk Baptist Church. Thank you, individuals, names that come to my heart and my name in my mind as I think about you that through the years have been supportive of us as we've gone out. I certainly haven't felt lonely. I felt backed as you have sent us out. But now this last term of service, let me tell you what we've been doing, kind of as a report to the people so you'll know what we've been doing. You know that we were in Entre Ríos, the province of Entre Ríos, living in the city of Paraná for 6 years. And then for the last 25, 26 years, we've been living in the city of Mar del Plata. Now that is a beautiful city. It's like the Virginia Beach of Argentina. Mar del Plata, right on the ocean. The city is built right smack at the ocean. It's a city of 450,000 people. 450,000 people. We have three organized Baptist churches there. When we first went there, they only had one struggling church, 35 members. We went to serve as pastor. We were pastor there 2 years. And finally, the church was able to call an Argentine pastor to serve there. And Cecile and I began a church in another part of town. Now, that is a mission point in another part of town that later on became a church. Another church has been organized, and now we're in our third work in the city. While we were doing that, we were also visiting the cities around about. We have cities 50 to 75,000 people, and there was no Baptist work at all in these cities. In this small church, the 35-member church, the First Baptist Church of Mar del Plata, when we first went there, it was the only Baptist church in a radius of 200 miles. No other church, no other Baptist church, and yet we passed through cities of 50 to 75,000 people. Just since I've been home, I was in Mississippi preaching in an association, the Monroe Association. And the lady who presented me for the engagement said, you know, we have 37,000 people here in our county. 37,000 people. And we have 32 Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches. I said, that's amazing, amazing. I'm having culture shock in reverse to see so many churches for so few people. 37,000 people in the county, while there are 450,000 people in the city where I live. We only have three organized Baptist churches and one mission point. Are there needs to be met yet on the field? I tell you, we have just started. We have just started. And yet, this last term of service, Cecile and I wanted to start a new work. Our idea was to plant more churches because church growth has been shown time and time again by new starts, new divisions, new classes, new churches. And that's what we wanted to do. We went to an area of town where a lady had been having a backyard Bible study for 2 years. She had envisioned a church in her barrio. She wanted a church there. And so after that 2 years of having the backyard Bible study on Saturdays her house, children coming in, giving them cookies and hot chocolate, then it was in that area that we decided to go and put up a tent. Now, we never had an experience in starting a work with a tent before. We'd always rented a store building. But this particular time, we got the associational tent. I guess you get about 300 people in the tent itself, and we put it up in this area on a dirt street,
two blocks from the main avenue of Liberty Avenue, and we started with a 10-day revival. We had the gospel films that we showed in color, and this is a tremendous attraction for the people there, who many of them who don't have television. So we had the gospel films, then we had a good musical program. David, I wish I had you down at the lead, something like that. But we had special music, we had congregational singing, then we had preaching for 10 nights straight. People came, we had many decisions, about 100 people lifted their hands during that time. One of those, for example, was Roberto. Roberto says, I really became a believer by mistake. He said, really, I went to see the film. He said, I got to the film late, and they were finishing up the film, starting the music, so I wanted to hear that, so I listened to the music. And then I heard the preaching. He says, and while that preacher was talking, he said, really, the Lord was working in my heart, and I realized that I needed to change my life. I needed to give my life over to the Lord. And he surrendered and accepted Jesus as Savior. His little boys had been going. They'd been seeing the films, so they'd gone home and said, Dad, said, they're showing these color films there. They're real nice. Come on, go. Of course, he's a fireman, and when he finally got off of work and was able to get there to see the film, we were ending up the film, and of course, that's the calling card anyway, and then he heard the message. Bless his heart, he is growing in the Lord. He is one who is studying his Bible. He is beginning to be one who can witness to other people now, just like Nilda. Nilda is a lady, now talking about tragic lives, you remember the verse that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, all things have become new, in Christ, of course. Nilda had married a man, he'd abandoned her with a child. She'd taken up with another man, and he was not faithful to her. She had two little girls by him. And this particular day, she was down on a park bench, down in the city section of Mar del Plata, right near the ocean. And as happens many times during the summertime in Mar del Plata, people who go there and gamble away in the gambling casino all their life's earnings, when they've lost everything, they go out and commit suicide in the ocean. Well, Nilda was sitting on a park bench near the ocean, knowing that background. And she said, my life is a mess. There's no hope. I don't have any happiness or joy in life. And she was thinking about going and throwing herself in the ocean when she heard a group of people singing in the plaza there. And she listened to the church. It was a group of people from a church having a street service. And then some testimonies were given. And she said, you know, they're putting up a tent two blocks from my house, and I'm going to go and see what they say there. Maybe the Lord can help me. Nilda came to our tent, and as she heard the music, and then as she heard the message of Christ preached, she had a response in her heart that wanted to do something about it, but she didn't make her decision the first night. She said, I'm not going to jump into this. Maybe I'm just emotional, and I don't want to get into some emotional decision. So she went back home not making a decision. And about the third time she came, Nilda made a real commitment of her life to Christ, surrendering to do whatever he wanted for her in her life. And that lady now has been that lady who has read and studied the Bible. She's an intelligent person and a person who memorizes very good the scriptures that she has to study. Of course, we have these eight lessons that everybody has to study before they're baptized, and they are trained in the scripture, and they're trained to win people. And so she has become one of those people who is very effective in going out, inviting her neighbors and asking them to come in. We're so grateful for people like Nilda, people like Roberto, and people like Jose Luis. Jose Luis has been helping us ever since we started the work in the tent. He's a young man who's been in the Navy for 20 years. And one day he came to me, he said, Pastor, I feel like God is calling me to preach, and I want to leave the Navy. I want to give up my pension. I want to give my life completely to the Lord. Can you imagine a person 20 years in a business, 20 years in a profession or work, and then saying, God is speaking to my heart. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it all. I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to give my heart to serve him, my life to serve him as a pastor, as a preacher. That's what Jose Luis did. We prayed together. He made his decision. He had been traveling 250 miles on weekends for about a year to come back to be able to be with us on the weekend. And that man right now is down there preaching while we're here on furlough. When we go back in December, we'll go back, and I hope Jose Luis will go on to seminary, because he's so adequate for that situation there. He's an illegitimate child. He grew up in a very poor environment, and he's a person who has known Jesus Christ as Savior because of the ministry of the people in Mar del Plata. He has accepted him. He has served him, and he is one now who is willing to serve him as a pastor. Would you pray for Jose Luis? Jose Luis Arellano, that he may prepare himself in a way to become pastor of that church. We talked to him on the telephone, and they're running 90 people in church now. Listen, in 3.5 years, a new work to have 90 people coming every Sunday, that is really a blessing in Argentina, because our work is really very slow. Our church is small, but to have 90 people coming to that work there, the Lord is tremendously blessing in that new work. And we thank you for helping, because about a year ago, we were able to get into our new building on that main avenue, Liberty Avenue. We were able to build a building. It's not finished yet, but we're able to meet in it, and that's where Jose Luis is preaching today. Pray for Jose Luis and many other people like him, because you've had a part in winning him to the Lord. As our lives touch the people there, you pray for us, you give, you send us out, and then our lives touch other lives. That's what missions is all about, because our lives touch them, and then their lives touch hundreds of other people. One of our goals is to get into 125 nations of the earth by the year 2000. And do you know, if we get into 125 nations of the earth with our missionaries by the year 2000, we still will have only gotten into one half of the nations of the earth. There are 250, 255 nations around the world. There's still a fourth of the world's population that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That is, those who will not be touched by a missionary's voice. And I say this great commission is just as valid today as it ever has been. And I pray that God will touch lives in this auditorium, just like he will all over our Southern Baptist Convention, that there will be people who say, "Here, my Lord, send me." We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, 187. 187. Brother Max could be standing here at the front. And if there's a person here today who wants to make a response to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior, to become a member of this church, to surrender your life in full-time service for the Lord as a minister, as a religious education worker, music missionary, music worker, any decision that you feel like God is leading you to make, would you make it? As we stand and sing, 187. Would you? Quickly, Christians, while you pray for that one to your left and to your right this morning, would you, as the choir continues to sing?